This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
He threw a hole on the right side and he's off and running. Off to the races to the 40, 50. In pursuit is Cam Lewis and DeMar Hamlin. They're not going to get him. He's going to go the distance. 87 yards for the touchdown on the first play from scrimmage.
I don't want to single out a certain position, but overall as a defense, when you're talking about draws, screens, those types of things, we got to do a better job of feeling the game, the indicators, and the keys. I didn't think we did a good enough job overall as a defense.
All kinds of time, and open in the end zone is Justice Hill, who beats Dorian Williams, and it is a touchdown, 19 yards, as the Ravens have blown it open here in the first half.
Down 21-3 at halftime, get the ball, score a touchdown. You know, had an opportunity to make it 21-17, and we turned the ball over. So, again, we were down and out early on, and we kind of stopped the bleeding. And, again, we could have done more to really put a Band-Aid over it, and we just let it slip away.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They made more plays than we did, and, you know, it was evident right away. They had more urgency than we did, and that's something we'll correct. Not everything was bad in this game. I don't want us to come away from this saying we're the worst, and lots to learn from. I'm glad this happened early in the season so we can correct things.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
The Bills lose one game, and you know what that means. Hockey season here on Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Mike Shope and the Bulldog at 803-0550. Eric Wood and Sal Capaccio later. So how bad was it? Bad.
Really, really bad.
Like Alan is saying,
really bad.
We don't want to overreact. You know, we're not the worst.
Right.
But it's their worst loss in years.
Yeah, I mean, since that Indianapolis game, which I think was the last time they lost by more than 6 points, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, that's a hell of a stretch, right? Is that November of 21?
Yes.
Holy moly.
Their last road game, where they lost by more than a touchdown, or more than six even, was Derrick Henry and the Titans
right.
in 2020, that, almost 4 years ago.
That COVID year, yeah.
Regular season.
Yeah.
Although, their only playoff road loss like that is the AFC Championship that year.
Yeah.
That wasn't, you know, that close.
So yeah, it was bad. So it's a lot more fun to be the demolisher than to be the demolishee, I guess, right? I mean, that was my word last week. I think last Tuesday after the Jacksonville game, they demolished Jacksonville. They got demolished by Baltimore right from the start. I mean, they got physically punished. I think, you know, X's and O's wise, intellectually, I think they got punished. They just got lit up. You know, the fact that you're, I don't know how early in the game, and there's a linebacker wearing number 32 running around on the field. Like, this is not going well.
Yeah.
Nothing against Nick Morrow, but like, this isn't good.
I didn't know who he was.
I'm at a point.
I just have to be honest.
Like, holy cow. So, yeah, I mean, just, you know, obviously right from the start, just brutal. And, you know, then, but even despite how it started and how Brownie sounds there on that one, on the Justice Hill touchdown, they've blown it open. Sure, 21-3, 21-10. You know, defense is looks fired up, right? There's a three and out, and like, okay, we're getting the ball back, and
you have the Ravens too, who've made sort of a habit,
right,
of losing leads.
So you could have been feeling it a little. I was definitely feeling it, and then that ill-timed debacle happened on 2nd and 7 that just never really had a chance.
Was that play there?
I don't think so. I mean, it depends. There's two guys back there with Hollins, but he's right. There's a, like an end zone view that I've seen of it. And if Allen puts it like in the corner of the end zone, there's a decent chance Hollins beats both of those guys to where Josh is throwing the ball, but who knows where he's throwing the ball. He didn't even get rid of it because he got hit. He was in traffic. Like the whole thing, the setup for that play, I think he's supposed to be in the pocket, but it gets all messed up there and he ends up, you know, out on the left hash or even further to the sideline than that and just decides to try to make a play and just, oh boy.
I mean, yeah, good luck to you if you fail on a trick play. Yeah. Everybody hates you if you fail, yes, on a trick play.
Yes.
I like trick plays fine. I don't know if I like trick plays to Mac Hollins, but that's the Bills roster.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Or should that have, I mean, Samuel takes the snap, right?
Samuel takes the snap and heads to it. Like, to me, there was no mystery about what was going to happen there. Right? Yeah. Like, aren't you watching on TV going, oh, Samuel's under center. Here's Allen off on the left. Okay, well, they're going to get the ball to Allen. Like, you know, I'm just an idiot sitting on my couch. I'm, you know, you see the Ravens communicating. I think they knew what was up. And all it took was one guy, like Van Noy, I think, is the guy,
yes,
that gets past Dawkins. And like, if that doesn't happen, maybe Josh gets to his spot and at least the play has a fighting chance. But it was doomed almost from the start. The way Van Noy got in there on Samuel, forced him to pitch it sooner, I think, than he wanted to, and it just...
It's one play.
Just derailed. It's one play, but at 21-10, and they're moving the ball, you feel like, okay, maybe. You know, this can be a game. Because of Baltimore's rep here, even this season, last time the Bills were there, they were down 20-3 and came back and won the game. So... You know, you're giving yourself a chance, and then the game just completely swung around on that. Like, it was over almost effectively after that play.
Well, I mean, sure, you can make assumptions. I mean, the Bills are so good that they're never to be counted out in the early third quarter of a game, but it was never their night. Like, it was possible, and you might have felt good, but it was never their night. I watched the game back today, and somehow it was worse than I thought last night. I mean, 87 yards on the first handoff is just, they got manhandled on the first play, and they really did most of the night. Like, Justice Hill, raise your hand if you knew much about Justice Hill. Like, the Ravens have had lots of different backs that have had kind of part-time roles. He's been there. But here is Justice Hill. Jackson doesn't even do anything. He just sort of flips it to him, and he's walking 10, 15 yards a few different times, and then you get a touchdown from him later. I mean, the Bills were just, like, awful.
Yeah,
defensively.
They got clobbered. The 87-yard run, I mean, what does it take to get to bust an 87-yard run? You need to have, like, I don't know, half a dozen or more defenders get absolutely dominated one-on-one. Like, nobody won, and that's it. Like, you're just, everyone's locked up. And that's it. All you've got left is the guys that are chasing, and nobody was fast enough to catch Derrick Henry, and like that was the end of that.
He's amazing.
Really. I mean, just like he is something to behold in the open field.
He's so big.
Yeah.
But then he gets out on that play, and no one can even come close to catching him. Like, he's faster than Hamlin. He's faster than the whole Bills secondary on that play.
Yeah, he got through the, you know, the first, whatever, you know, the 10 yards downfield, and he's gone. I've seen this before. Like, he's gone. Because he has, for a guy that big, he's got, I don't know, I've not seen, like, what miles per hour he got up to on that run. But for a dude his size, he has run away from people in the past.
And I heard them mention 22.
Wow.
Maybe, I don't know if it was that run, but.
That's just so scary.
Well, the Bills, the obvious point here is the Bills should have obviously signed Derrick Henry, like the Ravens did. That would have been smart. I mean, I'm not entirely kidding. I never wanted that. I usually make fun of that stuff. You know, it's running backs. James Cook is so special, but here's a game where he's just one of, like, a week ago we were hearing about All-Pro. How about the other guy last night, All-Pro?
Yeah.
Like, and he might not even be, but...
The thing about Henry, about signing him, about investing in that, and, like, just to barely defend the position here... is, to me, that play, Justice Hill could have gone 87 yards. Your name here could have gone 87 yards, provided, you know, you have that high-end gear. You know, and not everyone has it. But, you know, those also aren't highly pedigreed athletes that were chasing him. You know, it's street free. Like, the Bills secondary, we're bragging. I'm bragging about it against Miami. We're shutting these guys down with UB guys. Well, you know, it comes home to roost when an elite athlete gets in the open field on you and you just ain't got nothing to catch them.
It's just aren't the Ravens just different than everybody else? Not always better. I mean, they don't always win, but they usually win. And they're just different. I mean, that game never looked good to me last week because Jacksonville plays like they don't know what they want to do defensively and they're basically helpless. Offensively, the quarterback's terrible. Like, none of the things about Jacksonville translated to Baltimore. And the matchups, you know, they roll out three tight ends, and they can dominate you physically. And that's what happened.
I was listening to Tasker and Brownie on the way in, and I just like the way Steve put it. Like, this point exactly, how different they are from everyone else. It's like, they have a 300-pound fullback and a 250-pound running back.
Yeah. Like, and they both scored touchdowns.
And they play right. Well, sure. And they play, you know, it's not like Ricard is a bit player. Like, he matters.
That's
to
right.
Them.
He makes a great block on the Henry touchdown. So does Andrews.
Yeah.
Jeff Schwartz broke that play down on Twitter, and that's it's not a fun watch for Bills fans, but it's, you know, interesting to hear him describe the wham that play and just how Baltimore did it. First play from scrimmage. Well, here's two. An absolutely insane NFL record streak of the Bills not losing a game like that. And that wasn't even, you know, by 7. That was by 25. I mean, it was really not close. But they have gone so long. I mean, I'm used to it. I've worked here a long time. I know when you turn on WGR today, it's like Fire McDermott this morning. I know that people were calling in with that stuff. Just, it's an impossible standard almost. That they haven't won a Super Bowl or made a Super Bowl here. And you can tell me that that's not just a coincidence, you know? But it's just kind of insane to me how some fans just sort of the world crashes on the Bills when they lose one game to a good team, you know, arguably better than they are. They were better than the Bills last year, and this season is so young, and they were much the better team last night. What does it mean?
Yeah.
It means they're not going, you know, undefeated.
Right.
It means that streak is over.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of damage it has to mean, though, going forward. But as we know, they have two more road games next, and those are also, I think, both good teams. The Jets really did lose to Denver.
Yeah.
10-9.
I somehow managed to watch a lot of that game.
I somehow didn't. You know, the thing about red zone, can I just say now? I was going to say this later. So yesterday, no Bills responsibilities until the night, you know. So TV was on all day. I'm in and out. And it's red zone, which is nice. People like red zone because you can watch all the games. You don't watch any of them this way.
Like, no.
You see the games, but you don't really watch them.
Yeah.
And today, I'm, you know, looking back on week 4, I'm looking at my lineups and just so what happened around the league yesterday. And I know I was home with the TV on the Red Zone channel the entire day. I should have been able to tell you what happened in all of these games, but I really couldn't. Like, it's just sort of, it's so frenetic, and it's just place highlights, but it's not really watching the game. Like, Minnesota-Green Bay is this game for me yesterday, because I know Minnesota got out 28-0, and Green Bay, you know, almost made it all the way back. 31-29 is the final. A lot of stats from this game, but I couldn't really tell you, like, how it happened. It's just, I know that they were... That game would pop on when they were in the red zone, you know, of course. I don't really feel like I had a sense of it.
I know what you mean. And I started out, I said I somehow watched a lot of that Bronco-Jet game because that was, I started out intent. Like, okay, you know, the Jets matter here, you know, for now. And the Bills will see them in a couple of weeks. And I have strong opinions about how that's going to go for the Jets. So let me, I want to watch, you know, more than just what I'll see on Red Zone. I want to see, you know, what they do from their own 24-yard line.
Right.
Rodgers, right? Like, I want to feel it. I want to sit with it. Turns out they didn't do anything. It was really nothing. And the Red Zone is, it's like a drug. Like, it's like a drug that it's going to be a good time. I like it. It's satisfying. But I also, like you, have to go looking through the box scores to try to piece together how the games went when it's over. Because it just moves so fast, and it can be kind of, it's intoxicating and dizzying and maybe annoying and pleasurable all at the same time, I feel like.
That's just like football itself.
Yeah, right. So I hear you on that. So I tried. I think I probably watched 3/4 of the Jet-Bronco game just, you know, on CBS, and then the rest of the time I was on Red Zone. So yeah, I mean, it's once the Jets lost though here, yeah, I'm glad you brought it up this way because I had this thought. I mean, I don't know who, probably a lot of people did. I'm not here to tell you that the Bills did. And like, that's why they got trampled underfoot by Baltimore last night. But I went, you know, I got a little room here. That was my brain did that. Like, well, losing tonight won't be that bad.
Sure.
Like, I'm not going to be tied with the Jets. And I'm worried about the Patriots. I'm still not really worried about Miami and the state they're in currently. Maybe that'll change at some point. See if
tonight.
Yeah, if Huntley can do something for them at quarterback. Maybe.
Like, I like that call for them.
Yeah, me too. He's had moments. So anyway, I just sort of felt like the tension about the game really dissipated when the Jets lost for me. And I know it's just one loss. Like, you would have loved to get the bigger lead on them and sort of feel like, oh, man, it's October. The Bills have a 2-game lead in the division. This is pretty sweet. But all the same, it's not that devastating. What matters now is how they respond to it.
At BetMGM, their odds of winning the AFC East are better than they were yesterday morning, but that might just be you're one more week out of the way with the lead. Right. I'm not even sure that the performances have a lot to do with that. The Jet loss is pretty bad, though. The Bills loss is only bad by magnitude because they were just outplayed all over the field. You can't lose. Well, the Bills last year somehow managed, but you can't lose to Denver at home, giving up 60 passing yards. It's almost like the Derek Anderson Bills-Browns game where you just gave up nothing and somehow lost.
It was, you know, was pretty much a sloppy mess.
It was wet.
Almost start to finish there. But still.
Come on, though.
It was pathetic. And, you know, are we deflecting by dwelling on the Jets?
I'm not dwelling on it.
I feel like, I'm about to make another point, and then I feel like I'll be dwelling. So I'll save it. I'll save it for, you know, whatever. It'll come up.
Look, I don't know. I don't think it's deflecting. I'm not worried, really. Like, I always thought Baltimore was good. And what even is that to say? Like, we know that they're good. And it's a tough matchup. You know, we kind of took turns last week. You were like, Lamar Jackson is due for a good game against the Bills. He only had a pretty good game. You know, he didn't have to do much. He had a few good throws, but really just like little flip passes to Justice Hill, who was able to go 10 yards without being touched on screens. And then the Henry stuff was just kind of an easy night.
Yeah.
But I never, last week, you know, we had our fun with best team in the league stuff and power rankings and everything. And what did I say every time? It's just really too early. Mm-hmm. You've had a couple of cake matchups here, and that doesn't mean the Bills can't keep winning. But I'm not assuming that they will, because they're going to play a great team in week 4 and then other tough teams after that. And the goal is still win the AFC East again. And they came out of the weekend, I don't think, much worse in that way. Like I'm mentioning the odds are actually better.
Right.
So it happens. And I don't know, what about the close games people? Is it better that they lost by 25 points than if they lost by 4? Now, I'm not saying it is.
Right.
Because I like big wins.
You're going to have to explain that to me you feel that way. I don't know.
When the Bills are blowing out Jacksonville, you know, they've earned that. That's impressive. You don't want to lose to them, but you shouldn't, you know, rather have them win a close game because it's something somehow it says something about you. No. If you're the better team, blast them. And that's what happened in week 3, and then the Bills got obviously a taste of that last night. 803-0550 for your calls. Eric Wood and Sal Capaccio coming up later. Here's Mike with us. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thank you.
I just wanted to ask the two of you guys just a quick question. One on offense and one on defense. Why didn't the Bills go hurry up when they were down so early? And when you got a fast, aggressive defense that's coming at you, you got to keep them on their heels. And the Bills have proven in the past that they're pretty good at no huddle. So I was kind of worried about that. And where the heck is Curtis Samuel? I don't get how you're paying a guy $8 million to play this gadget role, and you're giving, no offense to Matt Collins, I mean, sure, he's an NFL player, but I mean, I just didn't understand some of that. It was really disappointing. And on defense, not having Milano and Johnson and Bernard was tough. I don't know if they would have made that much of a difference. I think you would have needed Matt Milano to handle Derrick Henry at the card, because you got 500 yards coming at you, one guy blocking at 300, and then Derrick Henry at 225. Linebackers were really exposed yesterday. And like you said, Mike, it's okay against Jacksonville or teams that you've dominated in the past, but when you got to, and you're not going to face that all year, as you said too. I mean, they're very.
All right, we lost you there, Mike.
Yeah, Baltimore is very much. Well, I don't say one of one. I mean, the 49ers can line up and do that to you. They use Usek as a fullback. He's not 300 pounds like Ricard, but still, you know, the Baltimore, at least in the AFC, has got the market cornered on playing that way. So, you know, you're going to have a better plan if you run into them in January. That's for sure. And what that'll be, I don't know. you know, you should, you know, hopefully knock on something lucky here. By then, have Milano back and Bernard. Like, hopefully they all come back and nobody gets hurt again. But really, the Bills are susceptible, even I think with those guys. It's still speed that they're relying on and coverability. Like, their thing is, you know, kind of like teams do to them. Like, we talk so much about the league-wide trends. I feel like McDermott is one of the OGs in this department. Go ahead and run it. We're going to play nickel, and we're going to make sure when you go to pass it that we're going to shut you down. We're not going to get anything cheap over our heads, and we're going to make it hard for you to live that way. And the Ravens just came out and just slammed it down their throats to the point where the safeties are creeping up, and it just didn't matter. They were just outmanned, man to man.
Well, you know, we've seen the Bills with these injuries make you wonder, does it even matter? Is McDermott so good? Right. Is the depth so good? You know, I'm not criticizing, you know, but I'm thinking of Sal talking about the value and the continuity and the depth, guys who've been, you know, quote, in the program. And that seems all correct. You know, it's logical and probably right. There should be a point at which you don't measure up to some opponents in the mm-hmm. league. It just makes common sense that you would eventually meet up with somebody who just has more than you do at that point. You shouldn't be able to cheat that forever. And so the Bills went from our asking those questions like, oh, Ingram, you know, and these other guys,
right.
Spector, are they just fine no matter what? To like, okay, no.
There's where it breaks. There's where I don't have enough. You know, I mean, I think, you know, what are we talking about? Four guys, five guys that are really backup level players on this team that have been playing, and it's going okay. But yeah, they ran into it last night. I mean, they really ran into it.
I would just ask on Samuel, what did you expect? I mean, if you want to, here we go. I mean, everybody eats. Now they lose one, and it's, but where are the wide receivers? Like, who are their good? Yeah, that's the point. I mean, Curtis Samuel is fine, but he is that kind of player, how they're using him, and there was every reason to think this was what was going to happen. And it's not much, you know, but they told you that's how it was, that's better. And, I mean, you could ask for a couple more plays a game, but in his career, which goes back eight seasons, Samuel has never, only once, did he ever come down with five catches a game. Like, what do you think it should be? You want more depth of target, I guess, but what's it going to be? What is that? 4 for 50? I mean, that's where Kincaid is. That's kind of where Coleman is. That's kind of a little bit below where Shakir is. You know, they're not all going to be, and you're not getting more than that. You were never getting more than that. You were getting this maybe a little bit more, like one or two plays a game more. And that's true of all these guys. So this is what, this was the menu for the Bills. And you want one or two guys to do one or two more things per game, it has to come at some expense. And I think this was the plan. 803-0550, Football Monday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back with more of your calls after this. The phone lines are open, 803-0550. I just said that. The Mets just scored 6 runs in the 8th inning to take the lead on the Braves in their quest to make the postseason. Winner of this game is in. Loser has a chance by winning the second game of the doubleheader. Back after this timeout on WGR.